We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. We're up to the second chapter of the 11th Mishnah. Rabbi Yoshua Omer. Remember, we're going through the disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. We're up to Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania. He's the one whose mother used to take him as a baby to listen to the people learning in the Beis Medrash. That's why they say, Ashrei Yoladito, praised is the one that bore him. He was the one who was a blacksmith. He was the one who was a great astronomer, who also knew to fight back when the early Christians would argue from the texts against the Jews. Rabbi Yoshua ben Hanania was our top representative. He was the top disciple. Him and Rabbi Elazar ben Hyrcanus, them two were the two disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who actually carried out his body out of the temple, out of Jerusalem, to bring him before Vespasian in that famous conversation where Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was able to salvage the sages, the oral Torah, etc. So Rabbi Yoshua says, he is one of the five top disciples of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and he says the following, Ayin hara, an evil eye, v'yetzer hara, and the evil inclination, v'sinat ha-briyot, and hating Hashem's creations, motzi'in et ha-adam min ha-olam, these three things cause man to exit the world. What does he mean? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, Perush, Mishaino samech b'chelko, Ayin hara is someone who is not happy with his portion in life, ve'oyen et chavero ha'ashir mimenu, and he looks badly, he looks with enmity at his friend who is more wealthy than him, matai yasher osher gadol kamo. He says, when will I be like him? He's so much more wealthy than me. So he looks badly. Why is he more wealthy than I am? When am I going to get there? V'ugorem ra le'atzmo ve'lechavero. And he harms himself and his friend. Kasher amru chachmei ha-teva. As the wise men of nature say, the scientists say, ha-chomed mikol asher le'reyehu, he who desires what his friend has, avir ole min ha-machshava hu v'soref ta dvarim sho'yen ve'em be'inav hara. Even the scientists of those days used to say that by looking badly at someone else, you're actually causing what he has to be burnt with the ayin hara by looking at it badly. Gam mekorvo yisaref acher shemitaveh ledvarim she'en yicholet matzui biyado la'asot. Hamachshava hi mekalkelet gufo. When a person desires things that are beyond his capacity, so that burns him. That thought, that constant desire of having what's not his, so that's destructive to the person's self. Person suddenly finds himself short of breath. He becomes upset. And ultimately that causes causes his early demise. That's what Rabbi Yoshua meant about Ayin Hara. Ayin Hara is looking at someone else and saying, why does he have more than I do? I wish I had what he has. And that destroys both of them. And here, Rabbeinu Yonah is taking a very simple approach, that Ayin Hara, simply looking that way, causes harm to what the other person owns, causes harm to the person's self. Yeah?
It's easily, at least to me, explainable how it causes harm to you. But it's harder, you know, and certainly when you use, you know, a term science, you know, how it could cause harm to someone else, especially when they're not even aware of it most of the time. Saying there's some mystical forces, and it's really giving a lot of power to people who are at a very low level themselves, who are, you know, it's not going to help. They're not going to have any more if you have less. They're just begrudging you. And is that true for non-Jews also, who look at the Jews jealously? I mean, this opens up a lot of questions if he's correct.
First of all, Rabbeinu Yonah is stressing with Ayin Hara that he looks with intent. He stands there staring at what the other guy has and he doesn't have. Right? And secondly, Chazal took Ayin Hara seriously. Chazal said that a person who goes down the street or makes a wedding or goes to an event, he shouldn't walk in with his whole entourage, his whole beautiful family, and everyone looks at it and says, wow. And that looking at it and feeling like, wow, that
we understand that's like eating a big meal in front of a hungry person.
Okay, but that Chazal took it to the point where Chazal said the fact that people will look at it and say, why does he have it so good, that will hurt him. The basic understanding of that is that let's say you're teaching a class. And you have one kid in the class who's a good kid, who's eating in the middle of class, and they're not allowed to eat in the middle of class. So you turn a blind eye, and then another kid starts eating, and he's the guy who makes noise, and he causes everyone distractions, and he pulls out his bag of bamba, opens it up, rustles it in class, takes out his bamba, and you say, you can't eat in class. And he turns to the other guy and says, well, what about him? So now what are you supposed to do? You know, he pointed out, he said, what about him? So you have to deal with him. You were ready to turn a blind eye to him. There was a reason why you were willing to turn a blind eye to him, and now you can't. So Ayin Hara is described as the same way. When someone down on earth is subconsciously making a plea towards heaven and saying, what about him? Why does he have it so good? I want it so good. So then in heaven, so to speak, they have to respond to that claim. Sometimes in heaven, a person can have it good, and he doesn't necessarily deserve it, but he doesn't deserve to have it taken away. But when there's a claim against him, when someone comes and says, why does he have it so good and I don't? So then in heaven they say, okay, if there's a claim against him, so then I can't, so to speak, turn a blind eye. Meaning in Shemaim, they don't always get involved in what's going to be for us. Sometimes a person has it good, not because he deserves it, but because there are no claims against his having it good. So that's one of the ways that Ayin Hara is explained. Well, we see that people's true feelings or people's strong feelings, they do have a claim in heaven. So even jealousy has a claim in heaven. Chazal say that when Avram took in Hagar, remember Sarah told Avram to marry Hagar. Hagar got pregnant right away. Sarah got upset, and Hagar miscarried. Look at that. That's pretty scary. Yep. I'm saying someone as big as Sarah, you see, still it says, Rashi says, Nasnaba ain ara, and caused her to miscarry.
It's not disputed. I'm trying to learn, but it defies rational scientific kind of thought.
Okay.
That's all.
Yeah. But I could tell you that many a couple have been told that they shouldn't walk around lovey-dovey in front of everyone.
But we understand that.
No, but I'm saying not only because of what it does to other people, but because when people look jealously at them, it'll affect them.
Right.
That's the idea of Ayin Hara. That's Ayin Hara. That's if people are looking at it and saying, why do they have it so good? Why,
But you know, for people that have evil intent at a very low level to begrudge someone else, yeah, I hear what you're saying, and you know, certainly don't flaunt things, don't be ostentatious. There's lots of good stuff there, but the idea that someone has that spiritual power through no merit of their own, and not particularly high level people, the opposite, and they can destroy it. Disturbing. I don't understand it, but try to explain. I don't want to belabor it. It's something I have to think about. And, you know, sometimes a lot of things I don't understand.
I can tell you one example. I know people who don't kiss their kids in public because they say, you don't know how many people around you don't have children. How many people around you want to have children and don't. So
that's beautiful sensitivity. But to tell your kids, I'm not kissing you in public because someone's going to feel sad about it and upset, and a lower level person might begrudge the fact that I have a happy family, and you guys are going to break a leg. That would be hard.
But that's the way Chazal viewed it.
It's just a little unsettling. But,
you know, at my wedding, my parents are living in the U.S. My wife's parents came from the U.S. So there was a discussion how we should do the wedding, and I said I want an Israeli style. So everyone thought, okay, I'm Israeli already. The reason I wanted it Israeli style was because based on this Chazal, I don't think it's proper what they do in the U.S., where everyone walks down the aisle and everyone looks at them. Like, what do you need that for? That's Hassan and Kala, fine, they have to walk down the aisle. Their parents have to walk with them. But all the siblings, what do you need it for?
I totally understand, but from a sensitivity point of view, you're saying it's much more than that.
Yeah.
It's also protection. You know,
right.
You don't eat a big meal in front of a hungry person, not because justice, it's just poor taste and rubbing it in. It's that I may have less food sometime. I may end up going hungry
right.
Because he may begrudge me. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know if it's a prohibition. He's telling you that this is the impact it can have. A person should not have an ayin hara. We saw earlier a person have an ayin tova, which is very hard. We all speak about it altruistically, but realistically, man's nature is that man is competitive. And if man is competitive, then it's hard to look at someone else who succeeded and you haven't. You know, we have color war, right? In camp we have color war. Why do we have color war? Because there's something called Ahavat HaNitzachon. Man likes victory. And that's enough to drive him for 3 days to yell at the top of his lungs, blue, you can do, I don't know, all those things. What? Who cares, right? Because people like to win. And there's a feeling in life that we're all in competition.
But there's a difference between, let's say, if we were both chefs and we were competing for a top job, I could see wanting to be a better chef than him. But if I'm a plumber or if I'm a doctor, it's pure, there's no competition in a real sense. You know, it's only that I begrudge him his success in his field. Stop. It's not going to make my life one bit of difference. I understand what you're saying. It's human nature like that. Communism works like that. My life's not going to be any better. As long as I don't have to see him having anything, it's okay. It's not really competition. Competition you can understand. This is just pure from a dark place, I think.
They tried asking people if they got a raise, but their friend, their coworker got double. Most people didn't want the raise. Okay, you know, why is that?
I hear you. It's healthy competition in there, is that?
Okay, so Chazal are training us to healthy competition. Chazal are training us there. I'm just pointing out that it's easier said than done. Part of human nature is that we are competitive.
I think I heard somewhere that someone else is learning, you're almost allowed to be envious of.
Yeah, in spirituality there we say that desire to be like him will bring us to do more. We even say that's why it's a good thing to put a plaque when people donate, because it encourages other people to donate. I know you don't like that, that's why I mentioned it.
But I still say if I was collecting for an organization and that what works, it's fine. It's like, you know, if somebody does a good deed only because they're afraid of burning in the next world and nothing else, fine. That's what motivates you to do it.
וראיה לזה הפירוש על שאמר בכאן עין הרע בלשון זכר שזהו העוין ברע. That's why he says עין הרע over here is different than the עין הרע we saw before. עין הרע over here is where a person is focused and his intention in focus is hurting his fellow man with his what we might call the evil eye. למעלה אמר עין הרע שפרשנו על מידת הקילות. Earlier, when we spoke about ayin hara, we were talking about stinginess. He says there are two types of ayin hara. Earlier we said ayin ra'a in the female sense. And ra'a, not ayin hara, but ayin ra'a. Ayin ra'a with the female sense means that he's stingy. He doesn't want to give others of his own. And here where we speak about ayin hara, that's the focus. There the ayin is not the eye, but the focus of evil, focusing on why does he have more than I do? He says, I know I'm going different than some of the commentaries, but that's what I think the interpretation of Ein Hara over here means. And Yetzirah and Tzinat HaBriyot, he says, that's understood, that's the simple understanding. All three, Motzim Te'adam Min HaOlam, cause a person's early exit from the world, his early demise. And here, as Avraham correctly pointed out, here the focus is that one should not have an ayin hara. A person should not look and focus badly about other people. And this becomes more difficult when one feels like there are basic things that other people have that he doesn't have. There's ayin hara when a person sees someone who he feels has it much better than him. But there's another type of ayin hara, which stems from a situation where a person's convinced himself, everyone's got it but me. And sometimes it's true. Sometimes there are things that everyone has but him. But often it's in our mind. A person can be dating and think everyone's married but me. A person can try to have kids and feel like everyone has kids but me. A person can try to make a parnas and feel like everyone has a job but me. That type of thought leads a person to be embittered and to have ayin hara. That type of self-pity is very destructive. Chazal say, the Meiri writes in Sanhedrin, that type of thought leads a person to be cruel towards society. When a person feels like everyone has something but him, so that not only develops ayin hara, it also develops a feeling of hatred. Why do they have what I don't have? So in many ways, for many people, that's a question of perspective. I can't argue with the guy who's missing an arm. I can't argue with the guy who has other handicaps. But very often, we all have our handicaps. You know, I can't run. If I run, when I was a kid, I used to run. At my age, I can't run anymore. When I run, I get out of breath at rates that it's not healthy for me to run. So I could look at a bus that's coming and say, everyone else can run and catch that bus, I can't. I'm upset. Why can everyone else run and I can't? Or I can say, like the doctor told me, some people were built to be Olympians, and some people were built to be soloists, and some people were built to be teachers, and you weren't built to be a runner, okay? Make peace with it. Move on in life. And we have to make peace with these things. We can't stop and focus, why does everyone else have what I don't have? We have to focus on, we all have a lot of other things, and that's good. But that's where the ayin hara is our choice. And that's where a person has to realize how destructive that type of thought can be. Especially when he's contending with the challenge of trying to achieve what he feels like everyone else has but him. And sometimes it could be a driver's license. You know, a guy who's failed the driving test 15 times looks at everyone else and says, everyone else can do it. When am I going to do it? We have to get perspective and we have to tame ourselves where possible with regards to the ayin hara.